There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
All right, Joni, you ready to get started?
Yeah, so we'll get started here. So today, again, thanks everyone for joining us today. We'll be talking about 2022 market predictions and strategy. So we'll just tell you a little bit about ourselves, though, to get started in case you don't know who we are. So we are Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Sean and I have been buying real estate now for 21 years. We actually started at the age of 19. So do the math, I'm kind of aging myself there. But so Sean actually, if you don't know the story, Sean actually saw a late night infomercial. It was at the time, I think it was Russ Whitney, if you guys can recall that. And so he's like, hey, Joni, come with me to this 3-day seminar. At the time, I mean, I was young, didn't know anything about real estate. And so I said, sure, let's go ahead and check it out. So we checked it out, and long story short, we ended up buying some boot camps. Sean actually, his parents had saved up some college fund for him. So he ended up spending his entire college fund on boot camp. So that's kind of how we got started. We didn't really have a normal college experience. We took all of our classes during the day and then, or in the morning, and then we would buy houses in the afternoon, check on job sites. So, and today we bought and sold over 1,800 homes. We together were co-founders of two property management companies in Houston, Texas, and Albuquerque, New Mexico, where we manage just about 1,500 doors. And we have a build-to-rent company called Texas Turnkey Properties, where we build new construction duplexes, sell them to investors, and then manage for the investor. We currently own 58 rental properties of our own, and we also have our management company managing those. We have a commercial office space that we are officed out of here in Houston, and we bought a self-storage complex about 2 years ago in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and actually our office in Albuquerque offices out of the storage complex. And we have a podcast called Inside the Wolf's Den. So if you have not tuned into that, I encourage you to do so. We have real estate experts, entrepreneurs on the show. And I mean, it's free education. So if I, looking back, if I would have taken advantage of, actually, there was not a whole lot of free education out there. So tune into that. We are on Spotify, also on YouTube and iTunes. So so we're going to be talking about what's happening in the market. 2022 market predictions. I know all of you guys have these questions on what's going to happen. And so, and what the data is showing. So I'm going to have Sean kind of open it up and kind of give us insight on what's going on.
Yeah. Thank you, Joni. And if you guys have questions, please put them in the chat box. We'll try to answer them throughout the presentation or at the end. We'll definitely have a question and answer and hopefully be able to answer all those for you. So we thought this would be relevant, and I know it's when I travel or go to different events and groups, that seems to be the hot topic. You know, we went through the last couple of years of uncertainty, and I think there's still some of that. And so we want to know, you know, what's kind of going to happen, and we're just going to share some data that we've been following and some people that we follow and kind of our assumptions and kind of what we're seeing and what we're experiencing in the two markets that we work and operate in. So, so far right now, you know, most major markets are seeing very low housing inventory, very hot housing market, multiple offers still, rents and prices are continuing to climb. I think everybody's experienced that. Everybody's been seeing that almost every market. In Houston, we ended up ended September of 2021 at a 1.8 months of supply of inventory on the market. So that's a very seller's market still. It hasn't been that low since I think oil was like over $100 a barrel in 2013, 2014. So it hasn't been like that in a very long time. And so, you know, Houston's been a hot market, same thing in Albuquerque, same trend, very low inventory levels. And so, you know, the market's hot. The National Association of Realtors in June of 2021 released a report showing that the U.S. housing was amid a shortage that requires a nationwide commitment to overcome. So it was all about like, somehow, you know, we're going to have to commit as a builders, the government, everybody to commit to this shortage of housing, or else we're going to continue to see prices increase and continue to create like not affordability in the market. And so that's what the concern was. But there's an underbuilding gap of about 5.5 to 6.8 million housing units since 2001. So there's just not enough homes, or weren't able to build enough homes to keep up with demand. The unsold existing home inventory nationally, according to NAR, National Association of Realtors, ended in September at a 2.4-month supply. So this is existing homes on the market that, and this is nationally. It ended in September at a 2.4-month supply. So it's still a seller's market, very low inventory. And so just so you know, if you're not aware, like a stable market's about 6 month supply. And so kind of a stable flat market, but so 2.4 is still very low. We follow, and I highly recommend you go to his website and sign up for his email newsletters, John Burns Real Estate Consulting. So John Burns, his company is kind of the forecaster and consulting company for Home Depot, Lowe's, all the major nationwide builders in the country. So Lennar and Pulte, and then all the hedge funds. So all these guys that are buying thousands of homes a year, they all consult with him and they all go to him for info and data on where the market's at in real estate. So highly recommend, he comes out weekly with emails and newsletters and updates on the market. But in July of 2021, he came out with an article that said the lack of supply is pushing rents and home prices. So this came from all his hedge funds had reported their data to him. So these guys that own thousands and thousands of homes across the country. And so they saw a 9.3% same home rent growth on new leases. So these are homes that they manage that the tenant moved out and they replaced the tenant. They saw year over year from July of 2021 to July of 2020, they saw just shy of a 10% rent increase over that year. For renewals on those same, like on a home that, you know, they manage and then renew the lease, they saw a 4.6% increase in rent prices or rent on those same homes. So, you know, and that's kind of what we're seeing as well. We're seeing, you know, obviously we never encourage our owners. It's obviously cheaper to kind of keep them in the home because that's when you have your biggest expenses is when you have a turn. So when a tenant moves out, you have to, you know, update it. There's always there's costs, you know, carpet update, painting, all that. So it costs money but we're seeing a larger increase in rental increases if we release the home rather than renew them. And we're seeing about 2 to 5% somewhere in there for renewals as well, just depending on the home and the last rent increase. Building updates. So most of you are probably aware of this and been reading in the news. Building has become much more difficult with governmental regulation, a lot of red tape, and massive material supply issues. You know, builders are, including ourselves. So, you know, we do build to rent. We build probably 65 to 75 homes a year, and many of those are duplexes. So unit wise, we put out about 100 to 120 units a year. And this is what we're seeing as well. So the biggest shortage, material shortage lately has been windows. The average lead time increased from 3 to 4 weeks to, you know, 15 to 20 weeks for depending on the style and type of window. We're seeing issues because of storms, because of capacity, because of labor shortages, because of material shortages. So all our lead times have massively increased. We don't quite have the buying power of some of the big nationals and builders. And I think they're trying to figure that out. How can they buy material in bulk early? And so they don't run out of, material. So it's kind of a how to navigate this time and this window. And so, and it seems like every time you figure out one material issue, something else happens. So like Windows got better just recently, but now like MDF board, there's zero MDF in all of Houston. So like you're talking like your window casings, your the railings on, or your closets, your the top edge of your like railings and all that, we can't use that. So we're having to go to either, pine or something else that's more expensive because you just can't source it anymore. Closets, we're having to do, the wired closets because we ran out, there's just no MDF. So, if you come to our office in Houston, you'll go down one hallway and it's nothing but appliances because, we've had issues where we finish a home and we just can't get the appliances that we need, or they run out of the ones that we typically order. So we've just been buying them in bulk. That's one item that we've been buying in bulk ahead of time. As we start the project, we already buy the appliances so we know we have them to finish the house. So, it's just created a lot of volatility in the market as far as material costs. Everybody knows what happened with lumber earlier this year, and it's come back down. But, it's created a builder confidence that is just lowered. It's starting to increase because the market's so hot. So we want to produce more houses. It's difficult to do it. It's difficult to navigate the prices. You've seen a lot of increase in prices from builders. You've seen a lot of renegotiation of contracts. You've seen clauses being put into building purchase agreements that they can renegotiate with you or exit out of the contract. You're also seeing delayed closings because of material shortages. So it's hard to produce, units right now. And so you're seeing a kind of a shortage of units being built, or just not keeping up with the capacity or what's the demand that's out there on the market. And so what's some trends too that's happening with the buyers and what we're seeing? So, millennials surpassed baby boomers as the largest group in the United States at 72 million. They also make up 38% of home buyers. So they're now the largest group of home buyers in the country. And a lot of them are hitting their peak age of where they're starting to buy homes. So they're starting families, they're in their 30s, they have more savings. A lot of them, because of the baby boomers, didn't want them to suffer, didn't want them to struggle, they helped them through college. So as of now, they're entering their 30s, they have, more savings, more in retirement, they have very good jobs, a lot of them. I'm not speaking with, there's 72 million of them, so not all of them, but the majority. They have really good jobs. A lot of them are in tech. And so you're seeing that they have the means and the ability to buy. And so they're now the largest home buyers. And so they're driving that market and buying a lot of the homes. This is probably the biggest news. And John Burns just recently put this article that he identified 43 announcements totaling about $30 billion in capital that are targeting the U.S. rental housing. So these are announcements from a lot of the people that he consults to. So a lot of the hedge funds, you're seeing a lot of builders enter the build-to-rent space as well now and partnering with hedge funds to just build out entire subdivisions to feed them. But the he saw 43 announcements that that announced that they're going to continue to buy U.S. rental housing. This article just came out on Monday, and I recommend you Googling it and pulling it up. But Housing Wire said that investors spent a record of $63 billion to buy homes in Q3 of 2021. That totaled 90,000 houses that were purchased, and that was an 80% increase year over year. And where the Housing Wire got this data was from a Redfin report that came out on Monday as well. And so they're how they classify an investor. It's a institution or a business that buys residential real estate. So they bought $63 billion in Q3 of 2021, which is a crazy amount of number. And also in the article, they posted that 3/4 of that was paid cash. So it just shows the money that is on the streets and the money that we're talking billions of dollars that these institutions have to deploy right now. And so, you know, some of these smaller players or people that are on this call, like individual people, it's hard to compete when you're competing against some major institutions that have billions of dollars to deploy and they need to get it invested. It's hard to compete. And these are trends that are, why I'm stating all this is into 2022, I think you're going to continue to see it. And I think you're going to continue to see a shortage of housing. And these are the whys, because they keep buying homes and they're just, we can't produce enough homes to keep up with just the typical home buyer plus all this institutional money that is coming into the market. And so what are we seeing on a local level? So, you know, we, as Joni mentioned at the beginning of this, we are in Houston, Texas, and then Albuquerque, New Mexico, are two markets that we buy and sell in, where we manage residential real estate. And where Joni and I are currently active as far as investors ourselves is in both markets. And so in 2020, you know, the U.S. Census showed that Texas continued to surge in population growing. It just surpassed 29 million people. That's an increase of 4 million over the last 10 years. And it's the largest number of any state. Another fact, you know, in 2020, one out of every 10 people moving to Texas was from California. So, you know, if you subscribe to our newsletter for TTK Properties, we've been posting emails and newsletters about this and just the mass exodus out of California and the bulk of that's going to Texas. So we're also seeing that on a company level, or, you know, you saw, okay, I just went blank. So in Houston, it was Hewlett Packard, Elon Musk, Johnny, help me out, the car moved to Austin.
Tesla.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry. I had a brain fart there. You're seeing, yes, Austin's getting the bulk of that tech, but you're seeing a lot of firms, you know, relocate to Houston as well. And like Hewlett Packard, they built a beautiful campus up in the Woodlands. It's up by ExxonMobil's campus in the Woodlands, which is on the north side of Houston. So they're relocating and opening this year, their headquarters here. So you're seeing not only people exit it and move to Houston, I'm sorry, Houston or Texas, but you're also seeing companies move as well. Texas has always been pro-growth. They incentivize companies to move here. They give them pretty big tax advantages to move here. And so what it's done is it's created low inventory in Houston. We're seeing strong appreciation in rents, and then just rapid growth as far as population growth and then size growth. In Albuquerque in the last 5 years has been very economic friendly and finally pro-development. You know, for a while there, the states, like, it didn't want to grow. They wanted to keep it smaller and more beautiful. But then they finally have changed their mindsets and have adopted. And so the economic development is really focused on bringing in jobs. And so they've focused on call centers. Sprint has a huge call center in Albuquerque. There's a couple others, aerospace firms, renewable energy businesses, and then, you know, Sandia National Labs there. So they're always focused on that and growth. And then the film industry. So that's been the biggest one. Netflix bought a ton of studios there and is doing a lot of movie production, ABC Studios. And it's always, New Mexico's always been a place that has attracted usually like actors and people in the film industry. They love New Mexico. They love the culture. They love the food. They love, you know, the scenery. And so it's not only a great place where they can attract, you know, talent and to be, you know, live there for a certain time of the year, and then also produce some movies and films. And so it's a great, it kind of works hand in hand. What we've seen over the last 2 years is we've ran less than a 1% vacancy rate on our rentals that we manage in Albuquerque. So we at times this year have had zero properties to market, which is kind of unheard of. Everything that we list usually within a week or two gets leased out. So very low housing inventory for rentals, and then also as far as for purchases, it's been very low as well. And if you've followed us for a while, as far as TTK, as far as properties we sell and everything, we've been sold out since Q4 of last year. And we've been working through a waiting list all year. We thought we'd catch up this year, and we never did. It just demand's been so strong that we just have not been able to keep up. Anything else, Johnny, that you've seen on that? Or
no. Yeah. I mean, I think thanks for sharing all that. I think a lot of people were looking to hear some of this data. And I mean, you've been in the marketplace and building, so you've seen what's going on there. Yeah. So.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So in conclusion, what does this mean for me as an investor? So number one, like Sean said, the market will remain hot and inventory levels will remain low for 2022, which means home prices will continue to increase and rents will continue to increase. We've seen about 9% rental increase from year to year. So, and we'll just continue to see that. Builders will not be able to keep up with demand. Builders will continue to see, you know, material shortages, and we've been noticing it here. And so we've been actually having to plan ahead just to keep up. Rates look to stay low for 2022. So one thing that I will say is take advantage of the low interest rates. You can get up to 10 Fannie and Freddie loans. So we're seeing that investors are coming in, they're buying the duplexes where you can get two units for one loan. And so they're doubling the amount of the units. So while the interest rates are low, take advantage of that. And because the inventory is so low, we're just going to need to be patient a little. So
it's going to be harder. It's going to be harder to find. You're still going to struggle. And I think that's been the biggest complaint or issue, I think, over 2021 is just like trying to find the inventory you need, or especially if you're under a 1031, exiting out of like a California market and then coming here. And that's been the biggest concern is like, I can exit and sell it right now, but can I replace it? You know, and that's been the struggle. And so it takes some planning, working with a provider or local expert that can help you or navigate when they have inventory or when they're going to have it so they can supply your 1031.
So the last thing is now a good time to buy? So personally, Sean and I have been buying and holding properties. Some of the advantages you get, interest rates again are still low. You can secure long-term debt, favorable tax advantages. We have a lot of investors still doing 1031 tax exchanges, and then the increase in prices and rental prices. So I will say that if you're planning to buy and hold, plan to hold it for at least 5 years. I do see investors that come in and, you know, they buy and they're only in for like a year and want to sell because they see the appreciation. So if you're going to go in, at least go in to hold it for about 5 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've all seen the news and everything. So, I mean, obviously, 1031s there's always a threat to those and change as far as government regulation on that. So they still exist. So it's still a great time to take advantage of it. If you can, exit a property that's appreciated a lot and go into other rentals that you can hold for a long-term period. There's still favorable tax advantages with the cost segregation. So now is still a great time to take advantage of that. So purchase real estate, use the low interest rates, long-term debt that you can get, take advantage of cost segregation, do a 1031 if that's an option for you. And then, you know, yes, everybody's seeing inflation. So inflation is great for the landlord because it increases prices and increases rental rates. So, it's been, you know, for Joni and I, our wealth has really increased over the last several years just because our rental prices and our rental, the value of our rental portfolio has really dramatically increased. So I still think it's a great time to buy. My only caution out there that I'm put out there is I think 2022 is going to be a great year. I think it's going to be much like 2021. If you are entering a project that you are going to try to exit within the next couple years, I'd be cautious. Are you willing to hold that you know, for longer than if it's something that you need to get out in, let's say, 2, 3, 4 years, you may want to reconsider. You don't know. I don't know what's going to happen yet in 2023 or 24. Obviously, we've been expecting a correction of some time. It's not going to happen in 2022. I'd be cautious if you were looking at, 2 to 3 years, 4 years. I think if you're in it for 5 years, 10 years, it's a great time to buy and hold and take advantage of all these options right here and capitalize on it.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say on the 1031s as well. So if you are thinking about doing a 1031, just on the cautious side, you make sure that you have somewhere to put that because inventory levels are low. So if you do the 1031, you have a timing issue there where you need to roll that in. So just be cautious on that.
Yeah. I had a question about what is a 1031 tax exchange. So that's where you sell a property. You declare it as a 1031 tax exchange. You have to use custodian account so all the funds from that sale have to go to this company that will hold the funds for you, and you have to reinvest those funds back into one or more properties, and you defer your taxes so you don't pay capital gains on that property you sold. So you're deferring the capital gains tax. So that's a 1031. So it allows you to not have to pay taxes and put all those funds in and defer it to a later date. So
if you need a recommendation on a company, let us know. You can email us and we can give you some recommendations on who we refer out.
Yeah. So, we're still bullish on buying. Joni and I are buying because we're buying stuff that we're willing to hold. We are unrolling a subdivision, 55 unit subdivision next year that you'll see from us. If that extended any longer than next year, I probably would probably put it on hold, but I think it's a great time to still move forward and buy that next, or to build it out next year. Joni and I have always looked at investments that if we're willing to keep it, 5 to 10 years, it still makes sense to buy. And I'll give you a good story, about this, because Joni and I have been at this for 21 years. So in 2006-07, we had a lot of homes that Joni and I were flipping at the time. Several of those we got, we spent too much on the rehab. We, bought it wrong, just paid too much for the property. We held it too long. And then as the market started to cool in the last correction, we decided, rather than take a loss on this and sell it at a discount just to move it, why don't we just rent it and let's just hold it long-term? So we kept, it wasn't a lot, but it probably 10 homes back during that period that we held for the next 10 years. And it fast forward to 2015, 16, 17, some of those tripled in value, some of those over that period of time. And I know we've had a good run, but it just shows the strength of real estate and that in a lot of cases, time can cure things. We probably bought those maybe at the wrong time or right before the bubble, but yeah, we held it long term and we did extremely well. Plus our tenants paid down our debts during those 10 years or 12 years. And we did really, really well on them. At the time when we bought them, we owed more than probably what they were worth. And so, or had more in the homes than what they were worth. So I just want to put that out there because I think, it's always a concern that a lot of investors have, that they think they're going to buy at the wrong time. And yes, that can happen. But if you're willing to hold it long-term, real estate does, it's a cycle. It comes back. So yeah. Anything else, Joni, you have on that?
Awesome. No, that was good. The last, the next slide is actually talking about the property management stuff. So I know that many of you may have some property management specific questions. We'll have a question and answer right after this. But one question that I got frequently throughout the pandemic was, how did you guys handle, with the rents and whatnot? So we actually we ran about a 97% collection ratio in both Houston and Albuquerque. So we did fairly well. I think some things that kind of contributed to that was our team just being proactive. So we were, filing for rental assistance on behalf of the tenants. And because, of course, tenants don't do that themselves. So we're pretty much walking them in and holding their hand through the process, which really helped. So because of that, I think we got close to what, 800,000 in rental assistance, would you say, Sean?
Yeah, it was a lot. It's a crazy amount of, I'm still shocked that how much money, you know, the government pumped into the market and into, you know, it's just unreal. But, and that's why we're having the inflation, but it's amazing. And yes, people took advantage of it. So in Houston, it ran out. So they did use all the funds that were, that Texas got $25 billion in rental assistance, and they ended up using it all or deploying it all. And so it just ran out. So we're going to continue to monitor that because people took advantage of it, whether they needed it or not. So we'll continue to manage and see how, we're in our slowest times typically. And typically the holidays come around, people spend money on gifts and all that than paying their rent sometimes. So we'll continue to monitor and see how things go into next year as far as that. But yeah, as long as we've been proactive and on top of it, we've been able to hit our, 98% collection rates on it. But, and that's, Joni, what are you seeing as far as next year, as far as collections, and are you seeing any different trends?
No, so, I mean, it's going to, for the most part, be the same. The thing we, obviously everybody's trying to have stricter processes and policies in place for screening their tenants. So we're seeing also that courts right now are backed up. So if we have to file eviction on a tenant, we're looking at probably 90 days right now to even get a court date, which typically in Texas, it's usually about 30, to get them file the eviction and out of the property is typically about 30 days normally. So, we're doing a lot of cash for keys still. I think we're going to probably do some of that in the next years as well, just to try. It's better just to get them out rather than wait for the courts to, help us evict them. So I think it's going to kind of be the same next year.
Yeah, that brings up a good point, because Joni has been having a lot of conversations with clients recently when they're, should I sell now? We've had a great run. We bought from you guys back in 2014, 12, I've had a great run. My property's doubled, tripled in value. Should I sell now? And what we've been recommending is just like, unless you have somewhere to deploy that capital, why not just hold another year? We're going to have another great year. You're going to have another great appreciation run into 2022. So why not hold it another year, get that rental income, get, another, 8, 9, 10% appreciation. And then maybe we'll reevaluate it and see where we're at this time next year or the end of the summer next year and see where we are. Especially if your property is tenant occupied and performing, the tenants are doing what they're supposed to. We say let's hold it another year. Because if you really look at Joni can run this with each of you individually, but if you look at how much you'll make in the tenant paying down your debt, or if you have a mortgage, the appreciation and the cash flow, it's going to be hard to get that kind of return in the market or outside of real estate right now. So sometimes it's better just to hold it for another year. Especially if you don't got nowhere to put the money or deploy it, It's going to be difficult to do a 1031 because you're going to have a hard time finding the property to replace it. On that same note, too, something good to say.
Well, one thing I wanted to piggyback on that. So, yeah, I mean, if you don't have to sell it, don't, especially if it's tenant occupied, because another thing that we're obviously inventory levels are so low right now, even with rentals, right? So tenants are having a hard time finding properties, which means that if we have an investor that wants to sell, well, the tenant may not be able to find a new place. So rather than having the tenant hold over and trying to, file eviction based on holdover because they can't find a place, they're paying rent. They're current, just let it ride for a little longer and collect that cash flow.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to mention was, we have never seen holdovers as bad as they are today. So and what a holdover is when you've given notice to the tenant, their lease is up, it ended, expired, and rather than renewing their lease, and they didn't want to move, but you as the landlord, you know, and with us managing it, we gave notice in the appropriate time frame that you want to terminate the lease and you want them to move out so you can sell it. We've never had as many issues as we are today because we've had, you know, we get to the time they're supposed to move out, you know, they didn't turn in keys. We go do an inspection. They're still in the home. And so we've had a ton of holdovers. And in markets like Albuquerque that still has a state eviction moratorium, and then places in Houston where the courts are so backed up, you know, it's taking a while to, we have to file an eviction, give them a demand or a 3-day, or not a 3-day, a 30-day.
30-day.
Eviction notice. And then we had to file eviction. It's taking a while to get them out. And at places like Albuquerque, we had to, you know, it's not as easy. And so just be cautious of that. And it is an issue right now that we're having holdovers. And sometimes it's, you know, I think the tenants sometimes want to do the right thing. They just can't afford or they can't find a place. They just can't find a place is the biggest thing. And then a lot of times the rental rates of the new stuff that's out there, they just can't afford it. So they just end up staying in the property and holding it over. So it's just something to be mindful of. It's been the highest we've ever had since we've been managing property. So I had a question about what about equity stripping or like cashing out refi? I think it's a great strategy. Take advantage of interest rates as being as low, lock that rate in for, you know, another 30 years, pull out money and deploy that money into purchasing more real estate now. So if you're willing to hold this 5-10 years, I think that's a great model. I do want you to be mindful though of keep some equity. Like don't over leverage yourself with that strategy. So biggest takeaway I saw from 2007, and this is just, I'm just going to say this, depending on what market you're in, just be mindful that in 2007, 2008, when we had that market correction, the biggest thing that I saw that hurt investors or took out investors was that they over-leveraged themselves. So I had a really good friend in St. Louis, Missouri. He had 135 rentals and he thought his debt to valuation ratio was good. I think he was at like 65% or somewhere there, 70% on a large portfolio. Well, when we had that big correction, St. Louis got hit pretty hard. His was always shorter commercial loans or smaller banks. And since it corrected, the bank, when it came time for renewals, they said, hey, you know, we'll renew your loan with you for all of it, but you now have to be at the new 70% loan to value of where the current valuation of the houses are. So meaning, you know, if they dropped, let's say 30%, the prices of those real estate, all of a sudden he had to come up with like almost $1 million overnight to pay down what he currently owed to get it for them to renew. So I always say, just be mindful of it. So yes, I if you got equity, pull it out, but also be cautious of how much you're pulling out and leave yourself some room and equity. It's always a smart thing to do. So hopefully that answered your question. Awesome. Joni, any other takeaways or questions?
No, that was great. I don't know if anybody else has questions, but here's our contact information. And if it's property management specific, you can send that to me. My email address is actually not on here, but it's joni@htownrpm.com. And then, of course, if you have build to rent questions, anything like that, then Sean, you can reach out to Sean.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to our contact information. it disappeared, but it's Texas Turnkeys. Direct phone number is 281-894-1800. And my direct email is Sean@, and it's SHAWN@TTKproperties.com. And so, and I highly recommend checking out TexasTurnkeyProperties.com. There's a place you can sign up for a newsletter. We're not going to spam you or email you like crazy, but on there you can. We do send out weekly emails, just every Wednesday. It's once a week. We're consistent with it. 1 week, a lot of times we'll provide value, like talking about the market, talking about 1031s, talking about all the California investors moving to Houston. And then other times we'll email out our preferred rentals. So this is a program that Joni started last year that we have clients that want to resell. It's tenant occupied, the asset's performing. It's been a great rental, but the owner wants to exit. So we resell those properties as preferred rentals. They're not brand new turnkey, or they're not just remodeled, but they have a tenant in place. They're performing. They're quality rentals. If that's something you need, or if that's something you're looking at, we do send those out on those weekly emails as well, so you can check them out. So we had a good one today in Albuquerque in Harvard Street, I think it was. It's a smaller home, but it was $139,000, which is almost unheard of in that market to find something that inexpensive. So check it out. And you can sign up for that newsletter at our website. So yeah. I got a question. So the Fed tapering bond purchases, they indicated it would start in November. And I haven't seen that yet. So, I mean, we'll continue to monitor it. I don't, he's talking about the Fed tapering bond purchases. I just don't feel like they're going to make I think they're going to try to keep interest rates low. I think there's political, they're trying to still win over and keep appease people. And so I think you're going to continue. They'll do what it takes to keep interest rates low for next year. So, I don't feel that they're going to, if things start fluctuating, I think they're going to try to keep it low. So I don't, they might taper back buying, but if it dramatically does a correction or a change, I think they're going to end up, they'll change their approach again to answer that question. What are you seeing on appraisals? Great question. Thanks, Kevin, because we just went through this. Kevin asked a question about, are we having appraisal issues? So Kevin's a current client of ours. We just had an appraisal issue with one of his. So that's a great question. One of his properties. I would, other than what Kevin just experienced, I would say we've mastered. I got the comps now, and I have in the areas, and there's been my comps, but also a lot of other builders that have built very similar homes to what I have in the same subdivisions and like submarkets where I'm building, that the comps support it. So to answer your question, Kevin, I don't think it's going to be an issue. If stuff continues to appreciate and we have to raise prices again, it may factor, because I think some of those, it depends on the appraiser and it depends on, who's ordering it. So there's a couple of our lenders that we've been working with that we've experienced. It keeps happening with the same lender. So more than likely, I'll probably have to remove that lender from my preferred list, because I'm not having the same issues with other lenders. So I think it has more to do with the appraisal, because nobody can, the lender can't order the appraiser directly. They have to go through an appraisal desk, and then they get to assign a kind of random appraiser. So there's a arm's length, and I can't recommend anybody. And so whoever they are using for this particular lender, I'm having issues with. And so, because they keep ordering from people that I don't know, either random people, or I think they're having trouble finding people, so they're overcharging on appraisals as well. But I got two other lenders that I'm having zero issues with, and I'm having no issues with their appraisers. So to answer your question, I think it's more has to do with who they're requesting the appraisals from. And so I'm probably going to remove him from our list, and it's unfortunate, but that's what I got to do because I'm having issues. So hopefully that answered that.
And there's some things that we do that kind of help that as well. So, a lot of these are infill lots. So we're creating our comps, when they set, so we're putting them on MLS as well, just to create those. And then we also create like a appraisal packet for the appraisers as well. So we're kind of helping them, and doing their job for them. So that way we don't run into issues, and that may be something that you want if you're in other markets or you're investing, have your stuff lined out and send it to the appraiser right away, get the appraiser's email address, give them comparables to support, you know, your property. And I think that really will go a long way.
Yeah. So we put a, we put the plans, our building plans, the square footage, we do comps, we do photos, all in our appraisal package. And we pretty much tell them, but it doesn't always work. As Kevin said, there's, we, every once in a while we have an issue we can't control. You know, we ran into one, I think on Kevin's first one, where we didn't know the appraiser went out. Like, it was ordered. They usually contact us for access. We give them the appraisal package and we control it. If we, in one particular case with the same lender, the person went out and we didn't even know they went out. They went and looked at the home without us gaining access to it. They just went out on their own. And we're like, wait a minute, like you had to call us to gain access. You can't just show up at our property. And so that there's those instances where, you know, we've had issues like that, but
yeah, that's a good point right there too. So that's another great tip, is that if the property's not finished, if you're doing a rehab and it's not finished, lenders will try to call out the appraisers ahead of time to try to get things wrapped up quickly. But if the property's not ready, that's one tip there, is don't allow them access, get a new appraiser if you need to.
And what's nice about some of the other, I'll just like Highlands Residential, who we've had no issues with, Graham Parnum's the loan officer there, and the one we work with. What's nice about them is they, and Graham's called me about a month ago and had expressed this to me. They have no, we've had no issues with them. They are able now, he said, this is the first time they've ever done it since he's been with this company, where they are now reject, if it doesn't come in, they are allowing the appraisal to be fully rejected and a whole new appraisal ordered and done. So if we run into issues down the road, they are now reject, they will, and this is unheard of, because typically you have to like plead your case to the same appraiser. But if you know anything about appraisers, they're never going to change their opinion because it makes them look bad, or especially if they come back at a, so they're always going to come back with the same number. But this is the first time that they, lender will reject the appraisal and allow for a new one to be ordered. So that's another perks of working with like Highlands Residential, for example. So these are great questions. Yeah. Anything else?
Having your real estate team, that kind of brings it to my last point, is having a real estate team in place goes a long way. So having your lenders, your, you know, that way you know which lenders and appraisers that, you know, that they go through, agents, property management companies, all of that just going to make your lives easier, especially if you're investing in other markets other than your own.
There's our contact information as well. It came up. So I just didn't keep hitting. Hey. Our Texas Turnkeys info and website.
Awesome. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today. As always, reach out to us and check out the podcast Inside the Wolf's Den. We always have special guests at least every other week or so, provide a ton of information and value there.
Yeah. And if you're, yeah, we had a great one today that just got posted. It was another turnkey provider in another market. And so a ton of value there. So, you know, if you're looking for turnkey, it's a great one to listen to. So check it out. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.